Today on Real Radio.
When it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, it means that we will be unveiled. The real us will be unveiled in that moment. What really the true desire of who we are will be unveiled. We will all, as Christians, as believers, appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from a section of chapter 5, where Paul tells us that we believers will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, we're going to have to give an account for our every word, deed, and thought. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series of lessons called When Jesus Christ Judges Us.
We, my friend, are going to be awarded or rewarded. Our faithfulness will be evaluated in this life as a believer. And in that, God is going to give us his response. The Bible calls them crowns. Now watch this. You will not be walking around heaven. Let's say you were really faithful and you're, you know, kind of messed up about this. Well, I just want to be his humble little servant. Listen, if you like it or not, if you know it or not, you are already his humble little servant. So get that straight right now. Here's the deal. In the day of judgment, watch, before the Lamb's marriage feast that's in the book of Revelation, before that even happens, before we get to run around eternity forever, there is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about this in a moment. We will be judged for our faithfulness, and he will give us rewards. And believe me, you're going to want every reward that you can possibly get. Here's the reason why. God is going to give us by display of crowns. The Bible says that we are going to appear before the Lord after the judgment, and we're going to cast our crowns back at his feet. So watch this. You're going to play that card? Well, I'm just going to be a little person in the back, and I'm just... Listen, not me, baby. I want a gigantic one. And I'm going to tell you right now. Look, it's like this. Oh. That's what I want. Here's the reason why. You're only going to enjoy that for a second. But the fruit of it will be forever. Here's what happens. Are you ready? Book of Revelation tells us, well, I'll quote it to you in a moment. Or I'll read it to you in a moment. We're going to be there in that moment represented by the 24 elders. And it tells us that we're going to fall on our face before God. And we're going to worship him. And we're going to cast our crowns back at his feet. So watch this. You're going to be like this. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, I love you. You're amazing. You're awesome. Thank you for giving. Hello. It's not my crown. You gave me every opportunity and the ability to do whatever has been done through your name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And you're going to go down and the crown's going to spill before his throne and it's going to give him all the praise. It's going to give him all the glory. It's going to give him all the honor. And it all goes back to him and it's going to honor him. And the last thing you want to do is have some thimble on the top of your head as you walk up there. No way, man. All to his glory. So you want to be faithful. You want to be fruitful. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Where does that concept, where does that verse come from? In Matthew 25, it comes from the judgment seat of Christ. When he evaluates everything that we've ever done. Listen, when the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, what is that all based upon? The judgment seat of Christ. When the Bible says every idle word that we've spoken will be evaluated in the last days, I have words, God put them in my mouth, able to speak them. God says we're going to evaluate how you used your breath to my glory. Your thoughts, where did you let your thoughts go? Did you fight against this world's temptation and the temptation of the flesh and all this stuff? Did you fight or did you just go with the, gone with the wind? He's going to ask us this. The judgment seat of Christ. I want to show you a couple of pictures. These are terrible pictures because I took them. I don't do pictures. I I'm terrible at it, but if you look on the screen, any moment now, this is Corinth, Greece. This is the real deal. In your Bible, when it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the word is bema, B-E-M-A, bema. This is the bema. That's it. That's the real deal. You guys, you see that right there? Look at it. Paul the Apostle saw that. Well, was it like it? That's it. That's the one. In the city of Corinth, that's the Olympic game location for that region of the Greek world. This is the bema seat. The top piece, you guys, if you can imagine this, see where the trees are at? Imagine columns and pillars right there going up. The winners would be in front. The crowd is where I'm standing with the camera. The bema seat. This is awesome because, watch this, everybody. There would be three awards given. Number one, in our culture, what is it? Gold for first, right? Is a gold medal winner a winner? The answer is yes. Is a silver medalist a winner? The answer is yes. Is a bronze medal recipient a winner? Yes. Watch this. This is so cool. The Olympic Games should remind you of your Bible and the day coming for you and I to stand alone before Jesus Christ. Why? Because it announces that the issue of the judgment seat of Christ deals with only believers. In other words, you're all winners. You've got salvation. Okay? Done deal. But he's going to reward us based upon our faithfulness and our commitment to him. So how does a gold medalist become a gold medalist on the day of judgment? You respond to the opportunities. Watch. You respond to the opportunities. Faithfully. Stay at it till it's done. Third, with the right motive. Okay? Now watch this. So many of us are suffering from lack of engagement because we think like this. Well, gosh, I don't know if that was God telling me to do that or not. I don't know if I should do it or not. Well, what was it? I'll give you an example. A pastor came up to me the other day from Watts. You know Watts?
Yeah.
The place you don't go. And he said, hey, I heard your church is crazy. I said, yeah, they're pretty crazy. And he goes, crazy enough to pray about helping us in Watts? I go, well, yeah, tell me what's up. He goes, every Friday we feed these kids who basically have no families, really. The gangs are their families. And we started doing an outreach there a few months ago, and God's blessing it. And every Friday night, we feed people, we give them the word, we do face painting and stuff, we give them the gospel, they get all kinds of food. And he said, well, we need help. And I said, well, let's talk. I want to know more about this. And I said, unless God tells us no, count us in. That's the way I respond to things. See, I've got ripped off too many times in life. Well, I'm going to pray about it. Pray about what? Pray about feeding kids who don't have families. Yeah, why don't you just go pray about that in the corner until some of them starve to death? No, I'd rather step out and then have God tell me, I didn't want you to do that. You understand what I'm saying, you guys? I would rather mess up doing a good thing than to sit out and miss a great thing playing it safe for me. And so he said, listen, this is what's been going on. I said, well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm Portuguese, but I look pretty white. Is it safe for me to go in there? And he said, yeah, because God's there. He gave the right answer. Yeah, God's there. Where would Jesus be if he landed at LAX? Where would he go? Watts. And he said, yeah. He says, pretty amazing what God's doing. He said, just recently we were feeding the kids and gangs began to form on the outer perimeter. And they were looking like this. And he said, he felt, he didn't know, who knows, but it's a drive, a thought that enters in your mind that's not you. And he said, I really believe God said, go and get a bunch of hot dogs and walk towards those gang members. He said, man, I got those hot dogs out. I put them on a big platter. And he said, I walked so they could see that they were just hot dogs. And he said, this is cool. He walks up there and he says, the guys were motionless like this. And he said, he got closer. And he said, the closer I got, the more comfortable I became. And he said, the more nervous the gang guys got. They're like, This idiot's coming all the way. And he walked up there and he said, hey, you guys been watching us. We're just taking care of the kids, feeding them. You guys want to have a hot dog? And he said that the eye contact, he said it looked like, he goes, it's the same feeling you get when you go down to the zoo and you look into the eyes of an animal. He said they were unbelievable. Another planet. And he held out the platter and he said they just stood there silently until one guy reached out and grabbed it like this, like it was loaded. He took the hot dog, and as soon as he bit it, the other guys grabbed the hot dogs. He said, just the other day since that event, they were driving down the street, 109th Street, I think he called it, 109 something or other, doesn't matter. He said he got pulled over. I said, what for what? And he said, man. And I thought he was talking about a cop. And he goes, oh, no, I'm not talking about a cop. He goes, in that region of the world, you get pulled over. There's no cops there. He says, you get pulled over by the gang guys. I go, how do they pull you over? They go like this, pull over. I go, no lights? He goes, they don't need lights. They go like this, pull over. He said, we pulled over? And the guy walked up to the car, leans in. Are you that guy that's, listen to this, listen carefully. They do this at a park. The gang guy said, are you the guy that's heading up the thing that's going on there at the church? The church. The gang member called the park the church. That blew me away. And he said, yeah. And he said, listen, here's my number. Anybody give you any problem, you contact me. Keep doing it. That's awesome. So here's the deal. What do we do? Listen, Christian, because this is you. This is me. This is us. Watch this. In all of our life, here's what we do. We're Christians. He gave us breath. He gave us energy. He gave you the health to do something. Well, I'm going to have to pray about that. Here's what we have to do. Research, get information, get ready, get our shoes on, get all ready. If God doesn't want us to do it, he'll stop us. We play it too safe. If somebody says, come on, let's go to the angel game. Yeah, let's go. What time are we going? Why don't you pray about it? It's just a... Dude, it's the Yankees and the Angels. Well, don't decide so quick. You should pray about that. What if it's not God's will? You go to angel game. Hello, angels, God. It has to be... No. What if God doesn't want... See, we are reckless about everything else in life. Well, let's buy that house. Let's get that car. Let's do that thing. Never stopping to pray about it. But we need help with VBS. We need help with missions outreach. We need help with going down to the gangs at Watts. Well, I'm going to pray about it. Why don't you step out? Why? There's a day coming when God's going to say, hey, remember that day, June 9th? That pastor down there told you about people in Watts, and you said, I'm going to pray about it. And from that moment on, you wouldn't listen to one word Jesus was trying to say to you about it. Do you understand that? That's how we roll, people. And God is saying to us, stop being so careful about the things that matter, and you are so reckless about the things that don't. Reverse that. Be reckless about the things that matter. And watch what God does. And let me tell you, your Christianity will never be boring. Ever. God is so good. And we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the real thing that will take place is this. When it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, it means that we will be unveiled. The real us will be unveiled in that moment. What really the true desire of who we are will be unveiled. We will all, as Christians, as believers, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 30 and 31... I hope you understand this now. I hope you grab this. Hebrews 10:30, it says, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you see that? Now it makes sense. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God because he's going to look inside your soul and mind and determine and conclude what I spent my efforts and my passions and my energies on and my motives. And I will have no hand to hold, you will not either. We will stand there, as the Bible says, open and naked before him and give an account. Now I see why Paul calls it the terror of the Lord. You see? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, not because he's going to beat us up, but because the truth comes out in that moment. And there'll be no hiding. That's why this message these weeks is to the believer. This is our judgment coming. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul put it this way. Listen to this. This is a good way for us to remember this message. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is," watch, number one, "able to keep," number two, "what I've committed to him," number three, "until that day." What is he saying? Church, watch. Paul is saying this: everything I do, in all aspects of my life, I'm just making deposits to Jesus. What I say, where I go, money, word, efforts, energy, it's to fulfill God's word. Now look, think of this for a minute. I'd be happy as a clam if this would happen. So, well, Pastor, what ministry do you want me to get involved in? Nothing. If you have a wife and a family, make that your ministry. Don't come and tell me about some grandiose idea that you want to reach Africa when your wife never sees you. Or your kids don't believe you're a Christian and you want to reach Bangladesh. Forget Bangladesh. Get your home fixed first. Make your children and your wife or your husband and your kids a mission field. Be faithful in little and watch what he does on a bigger scale. Just start there. But the awesome thing to keep in mind is this. Paul says, everything I do, I'm committing it to Jesus Christ in deposit, and he's going to take care of it until that day. What day is he talking about? The day of Christ, when you and I stand before him. Look at verse 9. We look at this, the second consideration. We're almost done. He will reward you and I for what we've done. He will reward us. For each one may receive the things done in the body. Circle the word body. Listen, everybody. The body, my skin. God is saying this, Jack, I've given you the ability and a body that is mobile. You can move. You're not handicapped or you're not limited. Move. For me. If you go to the office, if you go to the construction site, if you're traveling, whoever you are, whatever we are as Christians, God says, I want to use your body. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Now remember, we talked last week about Paul's funny little body. And God used his funny little body. Well, I only have this. I only have that. God wants to use you. No one's ruled out. Isn't that great? Were you ever left out when they were picking teams, like in kickball or softball? All right, you can have them. Oh, man. Not with God. He's not like that. And he's going to reward. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, here it is. And the 24 elders fall down. John saw heaven in the future. And he said, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Okay, if he lives forever and ever and you worship him, how long are you going to worship? Forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, this is what they say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Awesome. That is awesome. And then finally this. Verse 10 teaches us that he will discern why you and I did what we did. It says, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The good or bad is not in the sin context that we may think. Good or bad, meaning profitable or unprofitable. With what you did, it's wood, hay, or stubble. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we'll get into it next week, where it says that it will be consumed by his judgment and it won't bear anything. But then there's other things that you and I have done that will be precious to God. And he knows. So it kind of ends like this. He'll discern why we did what we did. So, there's a camera over there. Here, take a picture of me giving this kid $10. You know, have you ever seen that? Have you guys ever... I'd never seen that stuff before until I was exposed to international type stuff. Have you ever seen that? You know that really happens. People pull up in the limousine. I'm not going to name names. Don't even ask me after service. But famous Christians, ministers, pull up in the limo and pull out food. And you got it? Lighting? Okay. Really? Makeup? Okay. Okay, now we're going to get me feeding this kid. Ready? Boom, okay, let's go. And then it's on websites and it's on pages. Help us feed the world's hungry people. You know, Jesus saw that. If I do something, oh, you know what? Hey, is my face going to be in the paper? Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do it. Wood, hand, stubble, burned up. Imagine someday God's going to say, Jack, what do you, okay, let's go down to item 395. Okay, what do you think about that? I think that was pretty good, God. I think that was a good day. And he's going to go, I don't think so. Because you did it, it was all for you, man. And you didn't think about me. It wasn't for me. It was all about nothing. Oh, so I'm thinking, man, if that's the way the day is going to go, this is not good. And then there's going to be the thing where he's going to say, and what do you think about item 429? Oh, that was a flop, just like that thing on 395. And he's going to say, actually, you went there crawling on your face, miserable, helpless about it. You did what I told you to do, and you came home thinking you flopped. And I want you to meet these three people who came to know me by that moment, and you thought it had failed. And we're going to go, really? Right? So the things that you think maybe we did really good at, God's going to say, not so fast. And then there's stuff that you're going to think you flopped on, and God's going to say, now that was the right spirit. That, get that guy a little, you know, gold medal up there in the thing there. Give me a crown. He's going to discern. God discerns right now. So church, we want to end this way. We want to end, if you'll stand right now together, we want to end with just us privately. Think about it. I know this is a room full of people, but privately, I don't know how he's going to do this, but when the word says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, let me tell you what is not going to happen. It's not going to be like this. Where, this guy's really tall. John, he's like 9 feet tall over here. Yeah, I'll just hide behind John and his awesome hair. You can't. John won't be there to hide behind. The word implies that I will be completely, absolutely alone with him. Can you imagine? You're not only going to meet Jesus, Christian. You're going to see him face to face alone. And before the party begins at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's got to be this evaluation. You think you had final exams? We ain't seen nothing yet. And so he's going to look at us and he's going to say, okay, you ready? Here we go. And so that being true, my friend, that day is coming. Let's just recommit our lives to the plan of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When Jesus Christ Judges Us. It's actually a multi-part series taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul declares that we believers will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When Jesus Christ Judges Us is actually a series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special, worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. We often tell you about our Real Radio Book of the Month, which is always personally selected by Pastor Jack. Well, this time, it's the one-year Bible, and we want you to be a part of it. And if you think about it, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.